Optimistic Tree Farm, and we're not just trees. We've got an incredible selection of trees, but our greenhouse is loaded and looking great. Flowers, hanging baskets, and shrubs all ready to go. Our selection's so good, your weeds will be jealous. Stop in, grab some plants for today, and pick out some trees for fall. Mystic Tree Farm, the best place for trees and plants. Just head out North Main to 114 Decker Road and don't miss our ad in this week's Country Bounty.
This public service message is presented by BHJ Property Management at 101 South Main.
Rodeo season is upon us, and this year you could be at the NFR in Las Vegas, Nevada. Chaps has raffle tickets for the 2025 NFR. This trip includes two nights at the NFR, plus entry to Cowboy Christmas and rooms at a four-star resort on the Strip. Tickets are $100 and only 250 will be sold. Drawing is July 26th. Full details can be found at chapswyo.org.
The Jack Loops Explore Podcast.
What did conspiracists claim caused the rise in shark attacks in 2010? A. Mad fish disease. B. The rising price of seafood. C. Israeli mind-controlled spy sharks. Or D. The zombie shark plague.
Gotta be C.
It's C.
I'm going
it's
C.
Gotta be C.
You all got it.
Sister get some it. Sharks and put some That's freaking incredible. Lasers on their head.
Jack Loops Explore. Brought to you by Cloud Peak Lanes and Games at SheridanMedia.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Good morning, Wednesday, May 21st. And from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I'm joined by the Sheridan Police Department Chief, Travis Koltiska, and Captain Tom Ringley. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome back.
Hi, good morning, Floyd.
It is rainy outside today, a little chilly. How's spring down at the department, Chief?
Good. It's, you know, with warmer weather, even though it... hasn't necessarily been warmer lately. It was a little cold this morning coming in. Things have been good, but we're seeing an uptick in calls for service. Yesterday afternoon was a very, very busy one. And for those of you that got rerouted down to Brian Landon's with a pretty significant car crash, just FYI, you know, there were some injuries, but nothing major, thankfully. And so just kind of pass that out there.
Yeah.
I was getting calls left and right yesterday because it was a pretty significant accident.
Oh, dang.
You know, that's the Highway Patrol. I don't know any of the details of the causal factors of that because that's Highway Patrol jurisdiction. But we did have officers on scene that were providing aid and assistance to the Highway Patrol and medical. So,
do that a lot?
Considerable call, amount of time because there's a lot of concurrent jurisdiction running through the city of Sheridan, whether it's county or Highway Patrol primary jurisdiction. You know, when you talk about concurrent jurisdictions, overlapping jurisdictions. So the Highway Patrol has jurisdiction inside the city limits as well as the Sheriff's Office. We have adjacent jurisdictions. So that, for instance, out there, both sides of the road right there is, I guess it is Landon's is still city or part of it. There's some, kind of gets a little patch marked out there, but sometimes we have both sides, sometimes in several areas we have both sides of the road, but the roadway itself is actually not city jurisdiction.
Oh, wow.
So we're usually oftentimes the first ones, the patrol could be 20 miles away, the sheriff's office could be 20 miles away. Oftentimes those things that happen really close to the city, but in the different jurisdiction, we're the first ones to respond, providing that, you know, starting render aid and provide assistance to those other agencies. So happens quite often.
How does that work necessarily when our PDs first on scene, we begin to administer the aid and the services, as you said. But once the other department shows up, department, office, patrol, do they kind of take over, or is it whoever's first on site?
It's happened both ways, to be honest, because we do also in the state of Wyoming operate on mutual aid agreements. So if we get a request from that agency, that has primary jurisdiction to take the case, we can take the case. Sometimes that happens if it's a minor wreck that's 3 or 4 in the morning when those other agencies aren't out actively patrolling at that time, and we are.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're like, hey, could you handle it? And especially on some of them, or if they're super slammed busy, you know, that happens quite often with both the SO and the patrol working crashes or incidents further out of town. They just don't have personnel available, and it's something close to town, and they'll ask us if we can
jump in.
Can jump in and take that. We do that quite often as well. We work really well together. We're always helping each other out. That's just what you have to do in a community our size.
There've been, and then on the flip side, there's been times when they've really, really helped us out. And Highway Patrol, they're fantastic. And there's, and also don't forget, there's a buffer zone that's basically a half mile from any point in the city. We can address law enforcement issues, which makes sense. The city is not, the borders aren't straight lines. It's very cookie cutter. So if we're driving from point A to point B and we end up passing to another jurisdiction, we can address any dangers to the public that we see. We won't sit there and run traffic radar.
Yeah.
However, if we see a drunk driver or a suspected drunk driver, then we will address that. And that's the purpose of that buffer zone.
It's fantastic to hear that these relationships work out so well. And I'm hoping we're kind of leaving the dark ages of, I guess you can say rivalry behind. Because I'm sure you guys have been involved in law enforcement for, I think, collectively well over 40 years.
Over 50.
In Sheridan, we've always been pretty tight with Highway Patrol and the SO. Since I've been here, I've enjoyed working with all of them. I know it does exist. All I can speak to is Sheridan County, because that's the only place I've worked, but I've always enjoyed our personal and professional relationships with them.
And it would be nice knowing, hey, I got brothers and sisters that could back me up right now if I need it, no matter what happens.
I can think of countless times over the years when I was on patrol in whatever capacity as an officer or sergeant, when I had a traffic stop and I turn around to look at my backup as a trooper or a deputy. And then the same thing goes. I know they do that. We do that for them when they're close enough to town. That's just the relationship you have to have.
Yeah.
And we've always lived that here and we're proud of that.
Yeah. 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 It's one of those situations. We're all out here alone together.
Yeah.
You know, now National Police Week ran from Sunday, May 11th through Saturday, May 17th. Peace Officer Memorial Day was Thursday, May 15th. Captain, you and I spoke on this quite extensively last time you guys were on the show. Chief, you and a few officers escorted Sergeant Krinke's family to Washington. How was that?
Sobering.
Yeah.
I've been asked a few times, and it's hard to put into words, because while it's great to see the honor that's given to the officers that have lost their lives in the line of duty, it's still hard knowing that applies to everybody here, you know, that any family across the country has to go through that.
Yeah.
And so that it's really, they pull out all the stops. The COPS organization, which stands for Concerns of Police Survivors, is a national organization with chapters across the country. They do fundraisers to help support survivors of police losses across the country. We're working on a Wyoming chapter. We don't currently, like a lot of things, Wyoming doesn't have its own chapter just due to our geographic or our size. But we're part of the Montana chapter. I know, but there is some work being done to work on a Wyoming chapter. But the volunteers that come out from across the country for this event, when we got off the airplane, we were met by Honor Guard, just officers from both Oregon State Patrol and from Hays County Sheriff's Office in Texas.
Wow.
And escorted us to the buses, took our luggage, got us to the host hotels with a motor escort across Washington, D.C. And they did that for every surviving family or coworkers or anybody there that was registered for the conference. That's how we arrived as soon as we got off the airplane. So it was very sobering. It's a very special time to know that there's that support and that honor, but it was, couldn't think of a worse reason to go.
Yeah.
I would love to go just to support, you know, in future years, and we're going to make sure we can get members of our department to go in future years to support other agencies the way that, you know, that support was shown to us.
I think that's, yeah. It's one of those situations. I love being there, but I want to be a volunteer.
Yeah.
You know, and where did they put you up?
So there's three conference hotels. The size, I think the last number I heard, and I just heard this, I don't have any confirmation, but There were 30,000 people in attendance.
Holy cow.
Both officers that were volunteer. I saw motor officers, you know, motorcycle officers for those from L.A. County Sheriff's Office, Broward County, Florida. I mean, there's motor officers from across the country. There were officers, there were bobbies from the UK there. It's just, and all in volunteer, all helping to escort, provide assistance to surviving family and agencies. It was pretty crazy. But there were three conference hotels that were kind of, I don't know, really down, not really, sort of downtown Washington. But a lot of the, there were shuttle services provided to the different events that occurred in relation to Police Week.
Are the names on the walls by the time you get there?
Yes, they are. They started going up a couple months before so that they were there. That's the first place that a couple of us visited when we got there, was to the memorial wall. And that a wall is very, well, you know, it's the only memorial wall in Washington, D.C. that the names keep getting added to it.
Yeah.
You know, those that are familiar with the Vietnam Memorial, very, very touching, the Korean War, World War, there's all the war memorials there, but the police memorial is the one that keeps getting names added to it. And so it's a very nice tribute. It's not really right next to the National Mall. It's walking distance from the National Mall, but it's right down in that area, and it's very nice what they do, and they have a very nice museum, a wall of honor, and all that.
And so the museum, when you walk through there, does it kind of tell the story of police in the United States? Law enforcement in the United States?
I barely saw any of it, yeah. So I didn't really, I imagine I didn't really spend any time, yeah, down in the actual museum. But yeah, there's a lot of displays and kind of goes through history, some different older cars. There's a helicopter in there. That was kind of cool.
I bet that's pretty rough to stand in front of that wall, but at the same time, you know, I think sobering, the word that you used, is probably the best way to define that. Now, how long was the ceremony?
Well, there were actually a couple of different events. So the week starts on the 11th. That's when people start coming in, and they give the 11th and 12th time to settle in and kind of get your bearings. The 13th is a candlelight vigil. And that takes place at 8 o'clock at night on the National Mall. They read a roll call of names during the candlelight vigil, and then they from a single unity candle, everybody in attendance has a candle in remembrance of officers. You know, there were 147. Is that the right number? 147, yes. Officers killed in the line of duty in 2024, but there were 343 names that went on the wall. The names that were honored as part of this Police Week, because in order to be memorialized on the wall, and you have to be recognized by either the Fraternal Order of Police or the National Law Enforcement Memorial as being a victim of a line of duty death. So there's officers from the 60s that they now made, you know, it wasn't recognized as a line of duty death at the time, but now being recognized as. There are still hundreds of NYPD officers every year that are dying from 9/11 related cancer, from being at ground zero for such an extended period of time and breathing in all that toxic stuff. So I got a friend in NYPD, another friend in NYPD that I met while I was there, that his cousin, it was his third cousin that he'd lost in the line of duty due to 9/11. And he's been in NYPD for a little over 10 years. So, but the candlelight vigil, you know, that's that night. And then the following, there are 2 days of actual survivor seminars. And those are just, you know, different. There's different aspects, different topics of and different professionals that are speaking about, you know, the loss and how we process, how we move through it. It's not therapy. I don't want to call it that. But it's really because it provides information not only for those that, you know, at all levels, family, coworkers, leaders, you know, how to, you know, I attended a couple things of about, you know, leading through and things to recognize, you know, it's too much to really get into and explain. Right. And then on the 15th was the memorial service that started at noon. But there's so many people there. You know, we're getting on buses at 8 o'clock in the morning and getting ready to get bus to the National Mall so that we can get seated. And at that day, that's when participating family member and non-participating family members go out and they put a flower on a memorial wreath. And those memorial wreaths are then taken to the memorial wall upon the conclusion of the memorial. Again, names are read, and the flowers are placed on the wreaths, and the wreaths are placed at the wall for in memorial.
Feeling of camaraderie, I'm sure, was
yeah, 100%. I mean, there's a natural camaraderie feeling amongst the our profession anyway. But it really, it even brings you even a little closer and a little tighter, and knowing that everybody's there because for the same reason, and seeing the families and friends, coworkers, loved ones, you know, where everybody's there for the same reason. Unfortunately, they all know what each other's going through. And, it was, very important to be there to support, you know, our agency and Nevada's family, Carla. You know, it was very important for us to be there.
And to know that support system is in place.
Yeah, absolutely.
And really see it firsthand. During those conferences, I'm sure a lot of information was given that really helped a lot of people out. And I really do appreciate them doing that for our families and our survivors. On that, I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan PD when we return. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Planning for a busy summer tourism season? Be prepared for extra business with First Federal Bank and Trust Cash Management Solutions. Our local cash management experts will help you streamline your cash flow and minimize risk so you can focus on delivering exceptional service to your customers. Visit efirstfederal.bank to contact our cash management team today. Make this summer your best yet with the help of First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Member FDIC.
Are you interested in the field of broadcasting or communications? The Wyman Association of Broadcasters is offering scholarships to help you pursue your education. You must be a full-time student at a Wyoming Community College or the University of Wyoming with a GPA of at least 2.5. We're looking for students that exhibit superior potential in studies or activities related to a career in broadcasting. Stop by Sheridan Media or go to wyomingbroadcasting.org for an application form. The deadline to apply is June 15th.
Talking with Bill at Tales of the City and the pre-Memorial Day sale.
All of our products, Victor, Next Level, Nature's Logic, from all those are actually going to be off 10%, which equates to anywhere from $7 to $10 off a bag.
And remember, Tales of the City has a new location.
218 West Burkett, and that's just west to the courthouse parking lot, right straight across the street from the Salvation Army Church.
Pre-Memorial Day sale on right now at Tales of the City.
Attention proud parents, excited siblings, and friends of the graduates. Join SheridanMedia.com for the live stream of Sheridan High School graduation, Sunday, May 25th at 11 a.m. Can't make it in person? Tell all your family and friends around the country that SheridanMedia.com has got you covered with the live stream of this monumental event. Get ready to cheer on your favorite graduates from the comfort of your own home. It's a day they've worked so hard for, and you won't want to miss a single moment. Sheridan High School graduation live stream is proudly presented in part by Landmark Consulting, Sheridan Physical Therapy, Bristol Exchange, Campco, Federal Credit Union, Simply Stone, and Sheridan College. Don't miss out. Be there with us live as dreams take flight at the Sheridan High School graduation, Sunday, May 25th. Live stream begins at 11 a.m. on SheridanMedia.com and click on that blue live stream button.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with the Sheridan Police Department Chief, Travis Koltiska. and Captain of the Force, Tom Ringley. Memorial Day traffic safety. Now, we get a bit of an influx every year, don't we, Captain? Folks coming to visit, take the weekend.
Yeah, and actually from this weekend through the end of hunting season, our population is higher than winter time, just from the sheer number of full beds, motel beds, hotels, Airbnb. Things tend to pick up.
But now's kind of the kickoff for lack of a better term, your season.
Yeah, it is, and we enjoy it too. We get to meet all kinds of nice people that either live here or are visiting, and that's one of the perks of the job, in my opinion, is we really do get to interact with some cool people. And part of our efforts to keep those people safe is from as of the 19th of this month through June 1st, we do have a specific traffic grant addressing seatbelt usage.
Click it or tick it, right?
Yep. And you know, a lot of people don't know that in Wyoming, a seatbelt is not a reason for a primary reason for a stop, meaning we can't stop people just because they're not wearing a seatbelt. But if we stop someone and we happen to see that they're not wearing a seatbelt or they're buckling it up real quick, like we never see that, we take that opportunity for a little moment for some education and to encourage them to use their seatbelt for their safety.
Absolutely. I mean, being on the job as long as you guys have, seeing the things that you've seen, you can probably sit here and tell 500 stories about how seatbelts save lives.
Not only do they save lives, they save injuries too, which is a pretty important part of it. Our speed limits here in town, the max speed limit is 30 miles an hour. People tend to sometimes drive a little bit faster than that, but it also just cuts down on injuries, loss of time at work, and also the expenses to the hospital when we have uninsured people in accidents that still receive care from the county hospital has to treat. And so there's such an overriding effect. I know I posted this on the press release on our Facebook page, and people seem to think that we're infringing on their rights, which A, isn't true, and B, it's not a primary reason for a stop, but also it's that trickle-down effect that it has on everything. But our primary effect is we want people to be safe and healthy.
Yeah.
You know, traditionally, the state of Wyoming has had one of the worst seatbelt usage rates in the country.
I can believe that.
County, by through voluntary surveys and through actual, there's agencies that go out and actually stand on a corner and watch vehicles drive by and see what percentage of the drivers are wearing seatbelts. Sheridan County has had one of the worst rates in the state of Wyoming. For seatbelt uses by these surveys. And so that we're really, you know, we encourage and just want people to wear a seatbelt. It's the best means to keep you safe and if you're involved in an accident. And no matter how good of driver you are, because that's what I always hear, I don't need my seatbelt, I'm a good driver. You know, there's always potential for a situation, whether it's an intoxicated driver or somebody driving carelessly or recklessly. It's just the best means to be safe.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a habit that my first wife actually got me into. It wasn't something that I did. You know, 80s, 90s, it almost seemed like, well, who's really paying attention? And back then, you know, gosh, some of those pickup trucks, I don't ever actually remember seeing a seatbelt in there. But she got me into that, and it's a habit that I've maintained my whole life, and it does become a habit, folks. If you just kind of tell yourself, get in, buckle up, I'd say after maybe a month, you start to feel naked if you don't have it on.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. I mean, it is what it is if people don't want to use it. But it's the law. We are here to enforce laws. Mm-hmm. And whether it's through education or through actual enforcement. So, yeah, people can make their choices, but there may be consequences. They're fairly minor for a seatbelt infraction, but we would much rather. We don't care about that stuff. We want people to be safe.
Yeah, yeah. It's not the ticket that you're looking after. It's the folks. Now, that's kind of blows my mind. Is there a demographic within that, Chief? you know, Wyoming's one of the worst. Sheridan County's one of the worst in Wyoming. Is there a demographic, like, are kids, is it an older generation thing? Is it a younger generation?
It would have to be completely anecdotal because I'm sure there are, but I'm not sure I have the numbers right in front of me. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but
no, we just get numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be something worth looking into. I'm with you. I mean, it was my daughter that was always made me buckle up before I put the car in drive, right? And so I think it was more ingrained into the younger generation to put that seatbelt on. Does that mean all of them do it? No. But it's, you know, all my kids, you know, get your seatbelt on, Dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry. Yep. Which I've been good in my line of work. I've always been good about it, you know, and I'm the one that preached it to them. But if I didn't have it on before I got that car in reverse or in drive, because I mean, as a police officer, you know, we were always,
yeah, the hard thing for multitasking. The hard thing for us on duty or off is we will take our seatbelt off a block before we get home.
Yeah.
Just because when we're going to a serious call, we're not going to roll up to the door, yep, with the seatbelt on. Then I catch myself doing that constantly, whether I'm in my own truck or my unmarked car.
Cause you develop this habit.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm there to react.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And it's coming off, and I'm sure that you may not even realize it all the time.
Oh, no, as I'm pulling into my driveway back home, the seatbelt comes off. Yeah. I can't help it.
Yeah.
It happens every time.
But that's a healthy habit for law enforcement, too.
Yeah. In the military, even though we had all that junk on, boy, you weren't rolling if that seatbelt wasn't on.
Yeah.
And we had 10,000 arguments from soldiers as to why they didn't have to wear it either. But you know what?
We attended the same training probably back in 2002 to where we had a class on, if you're responding to an active shooter, how to take your seatbelt off so it doesn't get caught up on your gun and your radio and everything on your duty belt. It's actually a fairly deliberate process, but we're going as far off a tangent that we usually do. But it's all about habits, and these are habits that we developed as part of our profession. But there are also habits we develop as non-law enforcement drivers, which is we wear our seatbelts to make sure passengers are seatbelted and children are in the appropriate restraint seats.
Besides, who can handle that constant dinging that goes on with this new... Don't do it. My dad didn't clip the wires.
Yeah. I had a friend, actually.
He didn't really. He's listening right now. Sorry, Dad.
There was... I had a friend say, you know, you can turn that off, apparently. But it is an extremely long and complicated process, and they built it in to be like that.
Yeah.
That, you know, you've got to do this entire series of events with all the electronics within the vehicle itself to get that to stop, and that was done on purpose. You know, put that seatbelt on. It only takes a couple seconds.
Before we end, if we can put one thing on everyone's calendar, June 10th, 4 p.m., the dedication for Crinky Park. I think everything's in place now, some minor tweaks, but it's at the intersection of Main and 12th Street, right by the police department. Drive by now, it looks absolutely fantastic.
That's amazing.
And everyone's invited to the dedication on June 10th.
I got a feeling that's going to be a pretty large dedication.
That's our plan.
Now, what else should we keep in mind traffic-wise for the upcoming Memorial Day weekend? Because, as you said, it's just kind of the beginning.
But I say graduation. We have that coming up on Sunday, so there's going to be an influx of not only just visitors coming because they like to visit Sheridan, but family members coming for their family members' graduation, and there's things going to be going on. You know, just like we tell everybody when there's events, plan ahead a little bit, take a little bit extra time to get here. And plus the school, you know, school's not completely out by then, but there are a lot of kids that no longer go to school after the Memorial Day weekend. So increase pedestrian or bicycle traffic, just be aware of those things. And we talk about it every year. It's kind of our school's out, watch for bikes, watch for kids. Our school's in, don't pass school buses, you know, kind of our standard message, right?
Absolutely.
So we're getting to that point. So that's, you know, Memorial Day is warm. Well, rain Saturday again. But other than that, nice weather ahead. People are going to be out and about. Enjoy your summer.
And make sure that seatbelt's on because your officers are out there watching for it. You're not going to pull you over for it, but they're going to ask you to put it on if they pull you over.
I will tell the last thing that the readers, and one thing I question I answered on Facebook, that yes, it's not, seatbelts are not primary, but child safety restraints are.
Absolutely.
And if we see it, which we've seen it, somebody holding their infant on their lap or they're standing on a front seat like I did as a kid, you know, that doesn't, because that was just, it was okay back then, right?
Right.
That is a primary offense, and you can get stopped for that.
Absolutely. And honestly, you should. You know, if you don't know how to put the restraint or the seat in properly, the fire department will happily show Absolutely. You how to do it and put it in there. And they do that service for free.
Yep.
These individuals are trained how to operate all of these various restraint devices and car seats. And even sometimes they will replace one for you if yours has been recalled, because that is something that happens quite a bit. So just head on down to the fire station and ask them if they can help you out if you don't know how to do that. Chief, Captain, I want to thank you both so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, and have a nice holiday weekend, everyone.
Yep. Absolutely. Thanks. Be safe, buckle up, folks. And when we return, we're going to speak with the mayor of Buffalo. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Planning for a busy summer tourism season? Be prepared for extra business with First Federal Bank and Trust Cash Management Solutions. Our local cash management experts will help you streamline your cash flow and minimize risk so you can focus on delivering exceptional service to your customers. Visit efirstfederal.bank to contact our cash management team today. Make this summer your best yet with the help of First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Member FDIC.
The 41st Annual Buffalo Lions Club Fishing Derby is happening Memorial Day weekend at Lake Des Metes. Get ready for a fun-filled weekend with this great old sport. The lake is located on I-90, 7 miles north of Buffalo. There are $100 to $1,000 tagged fish, plus daily cash prizes and Monday drawings for a Winchester Wildcat 22 and a guided youth elk hunt. The 41st Annual Buffalo Lions Club Fishing Derby, May 24th through the 26th. Thanks again to their outstanding sponsor, Budweiser.
Shan Foster with Country Pet Inn on why training your dog is important.
Dogs need rules, guidelines for life, just like we do. Through training, what you're doing is you're giving the dog a set of rules, that this is what we do in our household. This is how we stay comfortable. So often we overlook what our dog's basic needs are in their home, and that's having structure.
I imagine a lot of people feel like the dog is part of the family, but they struggle with how to incorporate that properly.
The easiest way to incorporate that is by teaching it basically a language. Through consistency and repetition and through praise and correction, the dog can learn to be happy with the rules.
You're clearly very passionate about this area and
absolutely
able to help people if they're struggling in getting this to work properly.
Yes, and I'm more than happy to do that. There's very few things in life that bring me joy when I see that a person and their dog or a family and their dog are communicating and just having a good time together. That's my goal.
Find out more about training, boarding, and doggy day camp online at thecountrypetinn.com. Or call Shan Foster at 674-8542.
Heads up! Whether it's at work, at home, or play, take a few seconds to look up and locate any overhead power lines. When working outside, be sure to keep yourself and any tools or equipment you're using at least 10 feet away. Teach your children to fly kites or toys in areas away from overhead power lines, and do not attempt to remove anything that has become tangled with a line. Always assume an overhead power line is energized and dangerous. A safety message brought to you by Montana Dakota Utilities, in the community to serve.
Hey Bob, did you know Waring Chevrolet is a full service dealership?
Full service, does that mean you're going to mow my lawn, walk my dog?
Not quite, Bob, but we've got you covered. From new and pre-owned vehicles to top-notch servicing by the best techs in the industry.
What about tires?
Bob, we've got a tire price match guarantee on all big-name brands.
And I hear your parts department is everything I need, too.
Oh, absolutely. Plus, if you've had a fender bender, our collision center will have you back on the road in no time.
And your new detailing shop. That's where my truck goes to shine like new.
Waring Chevrolet really is your full-service dealership. We'd love to serve you at 107 East Alger or online at waringsheridan.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, we are joined by the mayor of Buffalo, Mr. Shane Schrader. Good morning and welcome back, sir.
Good Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's a little wet outside, but I don't mind the rain. I would say I mind the temperature a little bit, though.
Well, I will tell you that in Buffalo, it's a little windy, but sun's shining. Cotton's blowing around.
Nice. How is the spring in Buffalo this year?
Well, it's beautiful. Buffalo is always beautiful, but, you know, this year it's phenomenal. Everything's green. A lot of the fruit-bearing trees around town I've never seen so blossomed out, and the lilac bushes and all the other flowering bushes. So it's a beautiful little drive around the city of Buffalo.
You know, the wife and I went for a walk with the dogs the other night, and we both realized that the trees seem to be blossoming maybe a little early and much bigger this year than it seems like they have in previous years.
It is. If everything works out, Buffalo's going to have more apples than we know it
is. Absolutely.
How about them apples?
A pie making contest, I think, is maybe in order.
Yeah.
Now, the Buffalo Municipal Pool is gearing up for another big year.
It is. So the first part of the crew appeared for work yesterday, started draining the pool, and the lifeguards and, you know, Maggie, the manager, she's getting them all lined up into shape, and it's going to be a great year down at the pool, I do believe. Got the pads poured. We're putting in some pergolas this year, so there'll be some shaded shelter areas along the pool for people to sit. So it's more improvements coming every year.
And with Kendrick Pool being down this year, for those who want to swim outside, I think Buffalo Municipal Pool would probably be a fantastic alternative.
Absolutely. There's more than enough room, and we'll welcome you here.
Now, one thing that I read recently, thanks to you, is Washington Park is actually dedicating a portion to become a dog park. Is that true?
Well, it's contingent on getting the... Here's a word that I have trouble pronouncing, so bear with me, folks. Semi-quincentennial grant for the 250th birthday of the state of Wyoming. So there's a grant that's out there. We're doing some fun stuff, trying to get a dog park. The name of it's going to be Tales Through History, history and dog park. So, yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be a fun time.
And hopefully that funding comes through. Park?
Yeah, you know, who hates a dog park, right?
Oh, absolutely. Now, when it comes to locations where you can take your dog there in Buffalo, there is a dog park, correct? But it's kind of high up near the old Buffalo.
Yes. A lot of people go up to Heritage Park and walk their dogs, and, of course, there's the trails and all that type of stuff that you're more than welcome to go on as well.
But this proposed one will be in Washington Park. For those who may not know, where exactly in the city is Washington Park, sir?
Smack dab in the middle. It's the park that surrounds the pool. So at the bottom of Old High School Hill by Przinski Park, the ball field, it's all right there, and it's the horseshoe pits, it's the pool, it's the train park, it's the band shelter, it's that whole area right there by where the old high school used to sit.
And that is a very large park. It's where the wife and I go to play tennis. It's got the pool next to it. As you said, the big band cover. The creek goes right through it. There's a bridge. It's a fantastic place to go and spend some time with the family. I think this would be a great... I mean, who kind of brought this before the city council? Do you remember?
The dog park idea, Floyd?
Yeah.
So there's a committee that was put together with the commissioners and the city council, and it's a semi-quincentennial committee. And one of the things that has been popping up more recently, you know, request of the city is to maybe entertain the idea of putting in a dog park. So it all kind of folded in together, and timing's everything with some of this stuff, so... The committee came up with that, with the idea to use it and come up with fun ideas along with it. So part of the ideas of the dog park in that area will be QR codes, and you can scan the QR code, and it tells a walking history of Johnson County and Buffalo.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you'll actually be able to take the dog down there and learn something pretty cool, too.
Exactly.
Now, when will we know if this will become a reality?
So it's all up to Cheyenne, and they will get the applications for all these grants statewide, and then they will choose, and it's kind of on a point system on high priority.
Now, switching gears on you, sir, it is the season. Has the budget been the focus of the council lately?
It has. You know, we spend about 3 months, two, 3 months working on the budget, and we have a budget, and we had our first reading of it last night.
So the first reading is done.
First reading is done.
So essentially, once it's read for the first time, you cannot make any changes to that, correct?
Oh, no, we can make changes.
Oh, you can. Okay.
Yep, it's an ordinance, so it takes three readings to pass, and you have until the third and final vote to go in, and, you know, if any of the council feels like something needs to be changed, they can bring it back to the council, and it can be debated and discussed again.
Did the public make any comment?
Oh, you know, it's politics. There's always public comments, some good, some bad. But, public made comment, and of course part of our budgeting system is, you know, the 1% funds to outside agencies as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's public comment in that part.
Now what's one of the first things that you like to look at or address regarding the budget every year?
Well, mine is employees. You know, that's what makes the world go round here at the city, is our employees, not five members of a council. We listen to them, but they're the boots on the ground. And so I like listening to them and making sure they have what they need. And then we go from the employees. I like looking at it from the employees to the departments and then out that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that something that you did when you were working in the private sector and had to sit down and kind of look at all the employee budgets then?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's your number employees are your number one resource. Always has been, always will be. So.
Were there any surprises?
No, not really. And, you know, we've discussed budgets before, and, you know, my department heads are really good about making sure that any wants, cares, concerns are always upfront and spoken about. And so I've never gotten a really big lateral from the 1 yard, at the 1 yard line from any of my department heads to get any surprises.
Mm-hmm. That, now, I've been an observer of the budget process over in Buffalo on a few different occasions. You guys meet very early. You sit down, you kind of go over everything line by line. Is it still kind of that way? It has been a number of years.
Oh, yeah. It's still that way. And, you know, Julie is absolutely phenomenal at getting that stuff pinpointed down and the line items set out in a strategic way for us. So I imagine that as long as the current folks are in play, that's the way it has been. That's the way it will probably continue. Weeks here and there, of course, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
that process has worked very well for us, and sometimes you don't have to fix what isn't broke.
Now, did the city of Buffalo adjust anything in regards to the property tax reductions addressed at legislature this year?
Yes. So one of the big things was the 1% allocations that we give out every year got cut 25%. So 25% less money went out from us than what has in previous years. And, you know, you trim a little bit off every area because you have to make up for that loss of revenue.
Yeah.
You know, it's if your home budget gets cut by 25%, you have to find that 25% somewhere, and it's the same in at City Hall. So,
and Buffalo is very
lucky.
Some
of the plans that we had, some of the plans that we had that we wanted to do, just, you know, when we saw that coming our direction at the legislature, we just put it on a back burner.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, you run out of back burners.
Yeah, yes, you do. And as you know, Buffalo is very lucky. You do have probably, you know, one of the best money people in the entire state, if not the entire region, with Julie Silbernagel. When she sat down with the council and you and basically had this discussion of, you know, did she make a projection? Did she kind of throw out a guess? Hey, our budget may be reduced. Is that where that 25% came from?
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, for a town the size of Buffalo, and, you know, our clerk treasurer is a master CPA, has her master's in public administration, and so, yeah, we're very lucky to have her in City Hall.
Yeah, and you know, if anybody made a guess, that would be one of the people that I would definitely pay attention to.
Yeah.
Her guesses are pretty dang accurate, have been throughout the years. Now, I'm losing time with you, sir, so I'm going to switch gears on you. Just so people know, one more time, we do have two more readings of the ordinance pertaining to the budget. Those will take place at the next two city council meetings, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so if you've got anything there in Buffalo that you would like to add, feel free and join those meetings. And matter of fact, I encourage it. It is your responsibility as a resident. Now, sir, what is going to be happening in Buffalo this coming Memorial Day?
Well, I haven't got the full list. You know, we'll have our standard celebrations and memorials out at the cemetery and down on Main Street, as well as the fishing derby. But we do have a couple other fun things coming up as well. You know, maybe not on Memorial Weekend, but want to kind of encourage people to come and stop in and help celebrate is on the 31st, the Boys and Girls Club are going to have a resource rally, and it's just an event that brings together all the different places that help support Buffalo, Compass, hospitals, schools, that type of thing. And it'll be at the Boys and Girls Club, Weber Grills, you know, sponsoring and donating, you know, stuff for the first 100 people. They're working with the food pantry, you know, one can of food is one raffle ticket, and you get raffle tickets for all sorts of stuff. Boys and Girls Club itself has given out 100 swag bags for things. And, you know, you're more than welcome to come down, enjoy, see what community can offer to itself as far as it, you know, sort of help and services to you as an individual in the community, and bouncy castles, all sorts of fun stuff for the kids, face painting, all that type of thing. And, you know, on July 15th, the hospital sponsoring, you know, a free pool day at the pool, and there's going to be a lot of the nonprofit organizations there as well, explaining what they can do for the community and what they can do for you if you need it. So just lots of fun and exciting things. Of course, Saturday in the square, the farmers markets, all the Longmire days, all that sort of stuff, still here, hasn't gone anywhere. So,
and the street
businesses are.
Is all finished up right now?
Yeah, the part of it, the historic downtown portion, is done. Now they're going from Fort to Hart.
That's fantastic.
There's still one lane of traffic, so progress is moving forward. Businesses are open downtown. Stop in, do some shopping. There's some neat and fun stores downtown that use everybody's support. So.
And as you said, those events taking place, they're Crazy Woman Square. Does the Farmer's Market still take place at Crazy Woman Square?
Farmer's Market has outgrown Crazy Woman Square, and so it is on the Bomber Mountain Civic Center lawn now.
Oh, fantastic.
So if you go to Bomber Mountain Civic Center on the North Lawn, there they are. But yeah, unfortunately, they just, or fortunately or fortunately, they outgrew Crazy Woman Square.
Well, I think that's great. What a great location to have it now. That is a very wide open space, gives lots of room for vendors. Who organizes that? And that'll be my last question.
I think the chamber still has some stuff to do with that. So any events, anything that you need to know about Buffalo or the businesses, you know, feel free to contact the Buffalo Chamber. They're there to help and support you and the businesses and getting what you need and getting all those questions answered.
Fantastic. Mr. Mayor, I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your day to sit and speak with us. It's always good hearing from you.
Are you going out to the Fishing Derby this year?
I may or may not. It kind of depends on the day. I just I roll with the present.
Well, it's the Fishing Derby, so we know what the weather's going to be.
Exactly. All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Give your graduate a gift they can use anywhere with a First Federal Bank and Trust Visa gift card. As a customer, you can load up to $1,000 on a gift card with no purchase fee. With a Visa gift card, they can buy gas, dine out, or treat themselves to something special. The options are endless. Make their big day even more memorable with a First Federal Bank and Trust Visa gift card. Visit First Federal at 671 Illinois Street to purchase yours today. Member FDIC.
Hi. This is Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's here on Main Street in downtown Sheridan, where great food is just the beginning. From the moment you walk in, our team is dedicated to making your dining experience exceptional. Your server isn't just here to take your order. They're here to guide you, offering recommendations, pairing flavors, and ensuring every detail is just right. Whether it's cocktails at happy hour, a date night for two, or a family celebration, we make every occasion memorable. Book your table early at Frackleton's.com.
A-Line Roofing and Exterior says let's step back and give our personal gratitude and deep appreciation to our troops, living veterans, and those who gave their lives. We stand in awe of their dedication, discipline, and are humbled by their sacrifice. This reminder from A-Line Roofing and Exteriors, your roofing, siding, and gutter installation and repair experts. Visit alineexteriors.com or call 307-763-1179 or stop in at 554 East Brundage Lane and share.
Hi, this is Elizabeth.
JT.
And Dr. Dempsey with Ebia Hearing and Sound. May is Better Hearing and Speech Month. We invite you to take a proactive approach to your overall health and reconnect to the vibrant and beautiful world through better hearing.
Connection is a key to happiness. Enhance your joy, protect your mental acuity, and find ease in communication through better hearing. Our staff offers comprehensive hearing exams, tinnitus support, prescriptive hearing aids, and more.
Celebrate Better Hearing and Speech Month. Call today, 674-8920. That's 674-8920.
Hi, this is Brad at Primerate Motors, where we are looking to buy your clean used vehicles, trackers, ATVs, and much more. We will also downtrade and do appraisals. Here at Primerate Motors, we are a full-service dealership offering quality used cars, trucks, and SUVs. Our Super Trailer Store features a wide variety of stock, utility, and cargo trailers. Primerate Motors has been making customers happy for decades. See us today at 2305 Coffin Avenue in Sheridan or online at PrimerateMotors.com.
From Billings to Buffalo, this is the News Talk Station, FM 103.9 and 930 AM, KROE.
KROE, Sheridan.